Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning. Rejoice, hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. And then create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
And I will sing of the goodness. Good morning, New Life.
Morning.
Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Sean. I'll be your host this morning. If you're a guest this morning, we're so glad you're here. May God meet you and bless you. We'd love to get to know you better and hear how we can come alongside you and best support you in your faith journey. So I invite you to fill out a Connect card if you haven't already done so. And when you're done, please bring it to the foyer, info booth in the foyer, and we'd love to exchange that card with a gift bag for you. At New Life, one of the ways we share God's love with everyone is by blessing our guests with this gift bag. So even if you don't fill out a Connect card, if you are a guest this morning, I encourage you to come and say hi to one of the attendants at the info booth and receive the gift bag. And welcome to those joining us online as well. We hope that God meets you and blesses you wherever you are this morning. At this time, I would like to invite all the kids, children ages 3 to 5, as well as those in grades 1 through 5, to come downstairs and come up to the front, take a seat. We want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders as you head downstairs to continue in worship. If you're also serving in Little Lights or Kids Church this morning, please come down to the front at this time as well. And while they're making their way down, we have an announcement for the Kids Church parents. Next Sunday is the last Kids Church Sunday for the summer break. We will have 2 Kids Zone dates for the summer, and activity packets will be made available at the front. All right, congregation, if you could extend your hand toward the children and the leaders to the front, and we'll pray over them at this time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you they are part of this community, that they are not only the future of this church, but they are this church right now in this moment in the present. So Father, as they continue worship downstairs, we pray that you would bless them. Remind them once again how much you are for them and that you love them dearly. Father, bless the leaders they see continue to be present with these children and teach them and lead them in the way that they should go in their way of faith, Lord. We pray that you would guide them with your wisdom and help them, empower them by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Little Lights and leaders, you can go out to the door on my left and go downstairs. And Kids Church and leaders, you can go out through the door on my right and downstairs. I have a couple announcements this morning. This past Wednesday, we had our semi-annual congregational meeting to present Michelle Van Egmond as our Board of Elders nominee, and we have proposed the budget for the fiscal year of 2024. Information booklets are available at the information booth if you haven't picked that up already. And voting on the budget and the board nominee is being done electronically and is open until this Tuesday, 2 days from now, June 13th, 2023. You should have, if you're a member of the New Life Church or a regular attendee here, you should have received an email with your voter ID and a PIN number. And if you haven't received that, before you contact the office, please check your junk mailbox because sometimes they end up there. So please check that. And if you still haven't received it, please contact the office and we'll be happy to send you a login info. Second announcement, you may have noticed that there are two tables set up in the foyer as you entered the building. One of them are all the last and found items. They'll be there for the next two Sundays. So please take a look for anything that you might have lost and some of the things that might belong to you. Please take them. And if the items are not picked up for after the next two Sundays, we'll donate them. On the other table, there are two Profession of Faith Bibles. They will also be in the foyer for the next two Sundays. And next week, Aiden Bransma and Kendra DeWold are making their Profession of Faith. So these Bibles will be a gift to them. So when you get a chance, please make your way down there and highlight or underline a verse that's significant and meaningful for you and sign your name next to it. And even if you want to write a message of blessing for them, you'd be welcome to do that as well. We continue in our worship through offering, and today's offering will be towards Esperanza. Esperanza is one of our missions partners. It's a camp located off the coast of Vancouver Island. Esperanza seeks to be a place of refuge during the storms of life. We're very excited because we're sending a couple of teams to Esperanza this summer. There are opportunities to go to Esperanza this summer on the second week of July, or on the third week of August. Second week of July, third week of August, to help with care and maintenance on the campsite. We have a small group that's already interested in going on both of those weeks, but there are still more spots available. So if you'd like to join the team going to Esperanza, please sign up. Please contact the office to sign up, or if you'd like more information as well, contact the office as well, please. You can give your offering electronically or bring it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. So let's pray for the offering and for the team that's going to Esperanza this summer. Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in Esperanza and through Esperanza. We thank you that people could find refuge in you through the ministry of Esperanza. We pray that you would bless the ministry. We pray that you would bless the work of their hands. And we pray that you would also be present with people who seek after you on the site of Esperanza. We also pray, Lord, that as we're sending two teams this summer, we pray that you would continue to stir in our hearts and lead us to join the team as well, Lord. And bless the work of the team's hands as they take care of the maintenance and help with anything that's needed on the grounds. We pray for protection over them and their ministry as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will enter into a 3-minute fellowship time now. And we encourage you at this time to meet and greet someone new. Pass the peace of Christ to them. And if you haven't met someone or you see someone that you haven't met before, make sure you go and say hi and shake their hand. And if you need an icebreaker question at this time, ask your neighbor what comes to mind when you think of the word refuge. So let's start the 3-minute timer now.
All right, if you would take a seat, please. Wonderful. All right. Well, welcome again to New Life Church. So good to be together. You know, so once in a while, I view the video from a previous week or so just to see how the service comes together and just kind of review my mistakes up here and so on. I noticed the other day, watching a video from a previous week of our service, that, and I think it's because I'm left-handed, I always look this way. Evidently, you noticed as well. Okay, so I'm going to try to train myself to look this way. And not because I'm ignoring you, but I'm feeling lopsided. Hey, before we go to God's Word, let's spend some time in prayer. And I invite you to pray with me. God, we're so glad to be here together. And in this moment, Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'll excite us to hear your Word, to know your presence, and to be lifted up, encouraged, so that in this following week, in everything we do, wherever we are, whatever we're saying, whatever occupies our mind, God, that we'll be following Jesus, that you'll be so present in our lives that it's as if you're walking right beside us. God, as we have already sung, we hunger and thirst for you. That's why we're here. So speak to us. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Popular Christian author Philip Yancey once recalled a lesson that he learned from a guy he was talking to, Mike. Mike worked among homeless people. And so Philip Yancey was asking him about it, and Mike said that homeless people, what he liked about working among homeless people was that having hit bottom, these people don't waste time building up an image, trying to sustain a reputation, trying to conform and prove their performance. They simply pray plainly, without pretense, a refreshing contrast, Mike said, to what he often hears in church. So that caught Philip Yancey's attention. So he asked, do you have an example? Mike said, my friend and I were playing guitars and singing that familiar song, As the Deer Pants for the Water, reference to Psalm 42. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. When David, a homeless man that we knew, started weeping, that's what I want, man, he said. I want that water. I'm an alcoholic, and I want to be healed. He wanted that water. We're in this series of messages on the Holy Spirit, and we're using these various images that pop up in throughout Scripture that convey a sense of the Holy Spirit in one way or another. And today we're looking at the image of water and what that communicates about the Holy Spirit and its work in our life. In John chapter 7, the Gospel of John. There's actually a couple of references to the Holy Spirit and water, or to taking in Jesus as water. John chapter 4, Jesus is at the woman meets the woman at the well, talks about himself being water. In John chapter 7, Jesus is at a synagogue in Jerusalem, and this is what he says. On the last and greatest day of the festival, so he was present at the Feast of Tabernacles, at the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, somehow he got everybody's attention, it's a bustling crowd, this festival, you got to imagine, lots of noise and so on, somehow Jesus gets everybody's attention, stood up in a loud voice saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this, he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. A reference to Pentecost, the story that Luke tells in Acts chapter 2. So, a little bit of context in terms of why Jesus suddenly stands up and says, makes this declaration. Jesus is at a festival. The Feast of Tabernacles was a festival that talked about commemorated God's faithfulness and his provision for the people of Israel, for God's special people. It was a festival celebrating a time centuries earlier when God had miraculously pulled people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and he was leading them through his person Moses, leading them into the promised land. God had promised these people, I will free you from your slavery, and then I'm going to bring you into this land flowing with milk and honey. The people were anxious, of course, to get there, but God leads them through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, of course, there's a lack of food and there's no water, and everybody knows you can't live very long without water. And so the people began to grumble. They were grumbling because they accused God of leading them into the wilderness, leading them into their death, which made Moses very angry, so angry that he struck a rock when they were grumbling, "There's no water here, there's no water here." And Moses strikes a rock, which you would think, oh, well, yeah, he was just mad. The crazy thing is, suddenly the rock gushes with water. Apparently enough water to satisfy the thirst of all of the people. At which time this little nation of Israel was, but a lot of people. 100,000? I don't know. Maybe a million? A lot of people. Water gushing from a rock, evidently simply becoming a river to supply all of the thirst needs of the people. And so in the middle of this festival, commemorating that amazing event, people are partying, they're celebrating, they're giving praise to God, thanking him for all of his provisions, all of his miraculous provisions. In the meantime, the priests in the synagogue, they're circling the altar and they're pouring water jugs around the altar as a commemoration of this spectacular miracle of water rushing out of a rock, turning into a river. Essentially a river of life. And Jesus says, that's what it's like when you believe in me. A river of life flows through you when you believe in me. A river. So on one level, in the first place, we are like the riverbed or like the stones in a river. We're like the stones in a river. And somehow, life arises out of us. It's that picture of a rock gushing forth with water. Who'd ever heard of that before? A rock is lifeless. A rock is an inanimate object. But it comes to life. And Jesus says, when you believe in me, you, as much as you are inanimate, lifeless, you're like a rock, you come to life. The Spirit flows in and through you, and you come alive like a rushing river. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit, making us alive. So we're stones, rocks in a riverbed, constantly being shaped and changed. You can well imagine water that's quickly flowing shifts rocks around, and they rub against each other. They rub against the riverbed. The water shapes those rocks and smooths it out. And we are changed in as much as we are those stones, smoothing out the rough edges of our lives, wearing away the hardened parts of our lives. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, making us alive, making us filled with real life, life that's worth living. Just as water from a rock seems unusual and miraculous, so also this is a miracle. Mere stones that we are come alive miraculously with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Later on in the New Testament, in a letter that tradition says Peter wrote, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he puts it this way. As you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus Christ. We sang about Christ, the cornerstone, which is another reference. But as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is the river of life flowing through us, so that we no longer need to live in darkness, but we live in the light of God's grace. To receive that Holy Spirit is life-giving. Also life-giving in this way. It's like a cup of cold water that man, when you're parched and you just throw back that cold water, it refreshes you. It revives you. It, in a sense, gives you life as well. And so here Jesus moves on from that startling image of water from a rock and appeals to people's thirst. Being thirsty. It's a universal experience, right? I mean, everybody knows that experience of being thirsty. There's a way of thinking of our lives in that way as well. Whatever you might think of Pope Francis, I think he put it well when he said this: mankind is like a wanderer who, across the deserts of life, thirsts for water that's alive, gushing, and fresh. We're wandering through a desert. That's the shape of our lives. All of us, every one of us, thirsting for water that gushes with life. Every one of us, we have that desire to live life, to grab a hold of life, real life. He goes on, that thirst for water, when it's quenched, is able to slacken our deep desire for light, love, beauty, and peace. That's what we're longing for. We don't want to live in the darkness. We want to live in light. We don't want to live with rejection. We want to live in love. We don't want to live in ugliness. We long to see beauty. We don't want to live in violence. We want to live in peace. And then Pope Francis said, it is Jesus who gives humanity this living water through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us that living water. If you can recognize that we live our lives wandering in a desert, longing for light and love, beauty and peace. Jesus is that water that brings that to us, that brings us alive. If you can recognize your thirst, and that, of course, is the question. When's the last time you were thirsty? Really thirsty. Thirsty. I remember a time when, oh my goodness, 40 years ago, I was working in construction at the time. I was young and naive. We were building a huge lumber warehouse, and they sent me to the top of the roof trusses to brace all of the trusses together. So I was hanging all day up in the air, 30 feet in the air, too much work to come down, too dangerous even, actually. And so I'm hanging up there all day. It was a hot summer day. We had to get this done. 60 foot of roof trusses. I'm hanging up there, hammering away, and obviously thirsty. At least when I think about being thirsty, that's the time I think of, because I remember coming home, and I took a cold shower. I was just inhaling water, more water, then drinking more water, drinking more. Like, I just couldn't. I probably had a heat stroke or something, I don't know. But I was thirsty. Have you ever been that thirsty? Hear these words from Psalm 42 again. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I think every one of us knows something about that. And yet, the image I had of reading that psalm, familiar psalm, we've sung the song in times past. And I usually thought of, like, you know, just a nice gentle deer, like a Bambi, right? Just kind of saddling up to a cool flowing stream and lapping up the water and so on. Until I came across this account of Betsy Barber. She describes encountering a deer that was thirsty. It sounded, she writes, like there was a monstrous beast in the brush behind me. It really did. There I was, sitting on the deck in the balmy Oregon morning, reading my Bible and praying. Our home was nestled beside McDowell Creek, with waterfalls just up the road, mossy green forest all around. Nice place. It was a place of peace. But the morning quiet was shattered by a loud snorting and crashing and bellowing turmoil. All my internal alarms went off. I expected to be attacked. Something big and scary and forceful was headed towards me. And suddenly, right next to me, bursting out of the bush, this big stag deer rushed out of the forest, tore across the grass to get to the creek, immersing his head in the water, sucking and blowing, and he drank and he drank and he drank. That, my friends, is how a deer pants for water. Have you ever been that thirsty for God? I've been thirsty for success. I've been thirsty for knowledge. I've been thirsty for acceptance. I've been thirsty for financial well-being. But have I been that thirsty for God? I'm not saying that we always have to be so parched living our lives, but can we at least recognize when we are thirsty for God? Do you recognize when you're thirsty for God? Maybe it's when you think your life isn't going in the right direction. Could that simply be a thirst for God? Maybe it's in the midst of an addiction, like David, the alcoholic. Could it be that you're thirsty for God? Maybe you're wrestling in your own soul to be accepted, to be a person of note. Could that be a thirst for God? See, the problem is that it's easy for us to ignore that thirst. Look, we live in a hydration craze, right? Complete with, you know, having the right water bottle, right? The cool one. Like, I mean, I have a green plastic one that's quite out of style, actually. And, I wouldn't dare carry that around. But, you know, we live in a hydration craze where, you got to. In fact, some of you left them behind on the lost and found table. And we think that, and I think this is just a marketing thing, but we've come to think of water as the new elixir that can answer all of our health woes. Oh, I've got sore joints. Yeah, you just need to drink more water. Right? Oh, you know, I have this pain. Yeah, you just need to drink more water. We suddenly have so much water at hand, we don't even know thirst anymore. Similarly, we drink our fill of so many other things in life that we just don't recognize our thirst for God anymore. Recognizing your thirst by letting the Spirit flow through you can be like a cleansing river. When I was in Kenya, we would walk around the mission compound up in northern Kenya. And so we were walking along, and there was this long, I don't even know how to describe it. Well, in fact, it was a riverbed. I didn't know it then because it didn't have any water in it. I was like, what's this? And the person that was leading me around said, well, that's a river. I was like, that is not a river. There's no water in there. Okay? But when water did come, it came rushing through. And a lot of junk was placed in that river. But when the water came through, when the rains came down, then all of that was washed away. I think something of that image is what Jesus is talking about when he says, whoever believes in me, a river of life comes flowing through you, not only to revive you, not only to give you life, but also to cleanse you. When we fill our lives with so many other things to satisfy our thirst for life, we're going to need that kind of cleansing. The Holy Spirit is that kind of cleansing power in our lives, like a river, moving all of the dead water out and refreshing that riverbed with all kinds of new life-giving water. That's how the Spirit works in us, constantly moving water through us, moving life through us, casting out the dead stuff, planting it with new stuff. And to live in that river of life is what it means to live life abundantly. Jesus said, I came so that you could have life and have it abundantly. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, a river of life flows through them so that you can live in abundance. We think of that in terms of having a lot of stuff. Jesus meant that you would have life abundantly in terms of really being alive, alive in the Spirit of God. And how do you do that? A lot of times we think of it in terms of, okay, yeah, I'm going to try harder. We think of it in terms of, I got to be more religious. Or we think of it in terms of proving our performance, making sure that other people see that we're pretty good Christians. Jesus makes it a whole lot simpler than that. And he says, whoever comes to me, Jesus is already present in your life. You just have to go to him and drink. Both pretty passive actions, actually. You come to Jesus and you drink. You let the work of gravity do its work of ingesting and letting it enter into your body. Pretty simple. And yet it is hard work, because we don't always come to Jesus. So many other distractions, so many other demands, so many other decisions to pursue, end up being deceived. And so I have to remind myself to come to Jesus. You have to remind yourself, I need to come to Jesus. Discipline yourself to come to Jesus and drink of him. That requires that you pay enough attention to your own soul to recognize how thirsty you are, how much you long for the vigor of life, to recognize thirst for God in the midst of that, how much your soul longs for God to flow through you. To thirst after God and to let the Holy Spirit cleanse you. It means recognizing otherwise how barren your life really is. Look, here's a picture of the Atacama Desert in Chile, in South America. It's barren. It's brown. There's not a whole lot of beauty there. I mean, you step into that desert and you just want to get out. There's no life. There's no life. You step into that desert, you will be aware of your thirst. Your thirst just for plain old water, perhaps. But you'll also be aware of your thirst for beauty. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, a river of life will flow through them. You know what happens? In the Atacama Desert, when the rain comes, here's the next picture. Filled with beauty. When we drink the water of life, our lives are transformed by the Spirit of God. Let's invite the Spirit to enter into our lives, to quench our thirst for life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this good news, that whoever believes in you, a river of life flows through us, God, making us alive. Thank you, God, that you are a God of miracles, that out of a rock comes living water, and you are our rock, oh God. Fill us with that life-giving water. Renew us, revive us, refresh us, Father, with that water, and then flow through us to cleanse us from all of the other things that distract us from you. God, in this week, make us deeply aware of our thirst for you. And then help us, God, prompt us by the power of your Spirit to come to you and to drink deeply of the water of living life. Oh God, for some of us, we need that kind of refreshment. For some of us, God, we've been dead a long time. There's been no life in us. Fill us with your Spirit, Father. Fill us with your Spirit, that we would be refreshed, that we would be revived, that we would be alive in Christ, and that being alive in Christ, we may be that river of living water that flows through the lives of others around us so that they too become aware of their thirst, and that we can share with them a cup of cold water in your name and extend that life to the lives of others. God, for some of us, there are loved ones whom we long to bring close to you. We pray that you will give them living water. God, for others of us, we live insulated lives and we have no idea that there are others who are thirsting for life. God, when we encounter them, help us to see in the eyes of faith people who are longing for you, and may we also share that cup of cold water with them. And so, God, bless us this week with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with living water, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand. To
As you leave this place, I want to give you an opportunity to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe as you sat here this morning, you thought, I am thirsty. Or perhaps you thought, I've never considered it before. And so a couple of elders are going to be at the station. There's three stations here. There's two stations in the back. And as you exit, the band will continue to sing this song. You're invited to sing along. Take your time this morning. It's going to be a little longer to get out. But take this opportunity just to come before one of the stations, put your hands over this basin, and then an elder will just trickle a little bit of water into your hand. Perhaps you could choose whatever you want to do. Maybe just rub that together as a cleansing. Or maybe just take that little bit of water and slurp it up. Drink in the Holy Spirit. Be blessed with the Holy Spirit as you seek that river of living water. Be blessed this week. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Invite the elders to just attend to their stations.
Come to the fountain.